So over the past weeks, we've been following the story from the Nativity into the start of Jesus' ministry with his baptism. And we see how all along the way, there are these moments in which Jesus is authenticated or revealed to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And it starts to shift now, starting with last week with Jesus being an adult and his baptism. God authenticates Jesus as his son through the voice from heaven and through the dove coming down, but also by John the Baptist as the forerunner. Now today, we have another story, but there's something that's interesting going on here. Now we begin to see Jesus saying things to authenticate himself and doing things that are inspiring people or triggering this process where people are realizing themselves, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God. So we're going to look a little closer at the story together from the Gospel of John to see how this takes place, how Jesus authenticates himself through a very interesting exchange with Philip and Nathanael. But I also think that we have the opportunity to draw out for ourselves a model of evangelism, a model of sharing that allows people to come into contact with Christ. So the story begins this morning where we hear that Jesus has called a man named Philip. Jesus is calling his disciples, and John doesn't give us much information at all about the call of Philip, just that he calls Philip, and Philip came, and then Philip's immediate response is that he's going to go to Nathanael and tell Nathanael about this person that he's been encountered. Now, we know that in Philip's encounter, though, it doesn't talk about it in Scripture. Something must have happened, right? Because if someone calls you to follow, there must be something internally that goes on with you, especially if the very next thing you're recorded as doing is that you're going to other people to say, you've got to meet this guy too. And so Philip goes and he finds Nathanael. And he tries to tell Nathanael about all that he had learned. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And right away, Nathanael responds, Nazareth, can anything good come out of there? You see, that's a derogatory sort of response. Can anything good come out of there? It's because Nazareth was just kind of a little podunk town. It was out in the sticks. Why would anything important, let alone the Messiah, the coming king, come out of Nazareth? But noticeably, what does Philip not do? Philip doesn't start to get into an argument with him about why something good can come out of Nazareth. He says, come and see. You can almost tell there's something internal in Philip and in his own story where he recognizes what really matters is the encounter with Jesus. And so he says, come and see. On their way to seeing Jesus, it's as if they're still approaching when Jesus says this. He says, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Or maybe your translation says no deceit, or he's without guile. But the idea behind this is that Jesus is saying, hey, this is a faithful remnant from Israel. This guy is not underhanded. He's not tricky. He is honest. Which is interesting because the previous thing we heard from Nathanael was that nothing good could come out of Nazareth, right? So Jesus isn't really making any bones to pick about his hometown, evidently. But as he's coming and Jesus says this to him, Nathanael's like, well, do you know me? Do you know me? And Jesus responds, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Wow. That's quite a response. It's like immediately something just switches over for Nathanael and he believes. just as he's first, I mean, I don't even know if he got within 5 feet of Jesus before this all happens. Now, for someone who is skeptical at first, it's pretty amazing to make such a change, especially when, if we're honest, this isn't really that impressive, is it? I mean, that Jesus knew he was underneath the fig tree. When I first moved here, I was amazed because as I would move to and fro, I would encounter people in my day that said, "Hey, yeah, we heard you were at the grocery store earlier today." You know, right? I mean, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? So, to know where someone had been, I mean, that could have been a parlor trick, right? And it's almost as if Jesus himself is amazed how quickly Nathanael believes. Because he says, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." And he adds, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, you may be hearing this, and I believe that Philip and Nathanael knows those hearing would have made this connection. But when in Scripture do we hear this episode of angels ascending and descending from heaven to earth? It goes back to the story of Jacob. And this is where I want to dig in a little bit on this, because this is too cool to pass up. Jesus greets Nathanael by saying he's the one in which there's no deceit, no guile. No, he's not a tricky guy. He's not underhanded. But what about Jacob? Jacob tricked Esau. He tricked his dad. He tricked Laban. Yet somehow, he was a part of this whole grand story of Israel. And so this reference to Jacob, I think, already starts at the very first encounter that Jesus has with Nathanael. Because if there was an Israelite in whom there was there was deceit, it probably would have been Jacob. He was one tricky dude. And so after that, we hear Jesus talking about them seeing angels from heaven ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And if we remember the story of Jacob, what happens to Jacob when he's running from Esau? He ends up wrestling with God. He ends up seeing this angels ascending and descending on this place in which he's camped out, and he calls it Bethel, which means house of God. And so when you start to put all this together, Jesus is saying something profound here. If the place in which Jacob wrestled with God and had this vision of the ladder of angels and descending as this connection between heaven and earth, that Jacob called it the house of God, the place where people meet God, Jesus is saying, "You are going to see angels ascending and descending on me. I am the connection between God and human beings, the connection between heaven and earth." Whoa. That's pretty deep for a first meeting, isn't it? I have no idea if Philip and Nathanael even grasped that. But since it's recorded in God's word, we're fortunate enough to see in this moment, Jesus is revealing profoundly who he is. You're going to see that. You're going to realize who I am. You're going to realize the connection that you have with the Father in seeing me. So after Jesus says this, the passage moves on. But what you and I, as we read this episode, can take from it, besides the amazing thing that Jesus had to say there, is I do think that there's a pattern. There's a pattern of evangelism that comes into focus in this passage. You see, Philip has an encounter with Jesus, and then he tells Nathanael about it. Nathanael's skeptical. What does Philip do? Like I said before, doesn't try to necessarily explain him into believing. but rather wants to lead him into an actual encounter with Jesus Christ. So he brings him. You might be thinking to yourself, gosh, that'd be really convenient for when I'm evangelizing if I could just actually walk people over to Jesus. That'd be nice. Like, we all wish that we could do that, right? But what we have to remember is that there were plenty of people who encountered Jesus when Jesus was walking the earth. There were plenty of people who saw Jesus do amazing things. And there was plenty of people who didn't believe. And so I don't know that we're actually that disadvantaged. Because I think what was operating in the story between Philip and Nathanael is still operating today. Was it because of the trick about the fig tree? Is that why Nathanael really believed? We didn't get the whole story about why Philip did, but I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus' presence there. And that in some way, and this is the mysterious part about faith and about new life in Christ, like Samuel in the temple, they heard God calling and said, "Here I am." And so when I think about us today, we still have the Holy Spirit operating. And though we can't walk someone down the block to see Jesus in the flesh, the body of Christ is here, isn't it? The body of Christ is here. And so when we think about our encounters with neighbors and friends, the pattern of evangelism that we see here, the come and see, it's still the way things work today. I mean, whether it's, you know, like we heard from Lee earlier, whether it happens with someone's encounter with a tract, or they pick up a Gideon's Bible, or they meet you and you tell them about your story, whatever else, God uses all of these encounters, like that voice calling out to Samuel in the temple. We can't make them say, "Here I am." But we can invite people to be in the presence of the body of Christ through our relationship to them, through inviting them maybe to church or something like that. And all of these places bring them into a field where the Holy Spirit is powerfully working and gives them an opportunity to respond. So friends, I want to encourage you, each of us knows people who don't know the Lord. Maybe they're family members, and that can be a painful thing. Each of us knows people who may tell you that they know the Lord, but we know that maybe there's something missing there in that relationship. How can we say, "Come and see"? How can we say, "Come and see"? How can we invite them to taste and see that the Lord is good? Each of us has our own context, our own situations, and so I'm not here to micromanage how that's going to work for you. But it's all of our calls. And the Spirit is working in and through you as a member of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to be used by you in your mission in this world. God, may you remind us that you are at work before us, beside us, behind us. May you give us courage and a freedom in knowing that you are active, God, that you are working. And may we, God, by the power of your Spirit, be open to listening and hearing where you're moving. In Jesus' name, amen.